The Fighting Season, written by Bram Connolly and read by Nick Farnell. An explosion reverberated through the camp, and then another impact blew out the hallway wall, causing Matt to lift from the bed. He looked at the sergeant. Shit, what the hell was that? Christ, boss, come on, wake up! Boom, boom, boom! Matt recognised the sound of mortars in the adjoining camp firing an illumination mission, trying to bring clarity to the confusion. A couple of seconds later, the night above him became an eerie yellow day. Matt, the men need you right now! JJ screamed as Matt became fully conscious to the events unfolding around him. They were under direct attack. JJ grabbed the brown T-shirt and combat pants from the chair next to Matt's bed and pushed them into his chest. Hurry, put these on. What the hell's going on? What time is it? Asked Matt, almost stumbling in his haste as he pulled on his pants. It's 3:30 in the morning and it's a mess out there, boss. What the hell do you think is going on? Listen. Right, got it. Matt grabbed his body armor and threw it over his head, doing the Velcro up with one hand while snatching his M4 rifle off the wall rack with the other. Two huge explosions interrupted the distinctive sound of AK-47 fire. Handing Matt his helmet, JJ bundled him out of the room and into the hallway. Suicide bombers, boss. I think there are about 50 or more Taliban out there and they seem well organised. The two of them ran out of the smouldering building and into a night thick with the smell of cordite and burning paint. They're inside the wire. The platoon is moving to their defensive position now. The HQ building is locked down and the enemy is being held back in the vehicle yard. Machine gun fire was followed by what sounded like grenades. Where are the SAS guys? Matt demanded. They're still an hour away, out on some time-sensitive targeting mission in the mountains up above the Kora Valley. Another rocket-propelled grenade whistled overhead, exploding harmlessly past the dining facility. Matt calculated that it had come from the open-sided shed being used as a vehicle yard located on the outer perimeter. While the yard didn't guarantee the Taliban immediate access to the inner perimeter and therefore free run of the base, it was only a matter of time and Matt knew it. He looked around as they passed the last accommodation block. He could see that most of the damage was contained to the accommodation blocks themselves. How come these pricks always have so much ammunition? JJ yelled. They were running past Yankee platoon's vehicles now. The soldiers had been packing the bushmasters earlier that afternoon, and the protected mobility vehicles lined the road in front of the accommodation. I don't know, mate, but it's lucky all the gun cars are still sitting here on the ring road and not where they should be in the vehicle yard. Matt and JJ arrived at the forward area of the internal perimeter. Beyond this was the vehicle yard. It had 30-foot HESCO walls, a type of rapidly deployable defensive structure filled with dirt. At either end of the yard was an access gate. The Taliban had passed the external guard tower with its big steel gates and, instead of heading straight into the main camp, they had turned right and were now trapped inside the yard. As Matt settled in behind a sandbag wall, his radio came alive. Yankee Alpha, this is Yankee One, over. It was the Team One commander. Matt's platoon had four teams, each comprising six commandos that made up his platoon. Send it, replied Matt. This is Yankee One. All four teams are firm in location. The enemy are contained in the outer perimeter and we are waiting further instructions. Over. Matt thought for a second, then replied, Roger, all call signs. This is Yankee Alpha. Hold position and wait for further orders. Out.